Hello, this is Donna, and for the next hour, I'll be reading from the weekend edition of the Post Standard on the Niagara Frontier Radio Reading Service. In headlines from Syracuse, armed student brought rifle for protection from ICE agents, from John Moss and Ann Hayes. A Cornell University student arrested with a rifle in Syracuse told police that he purchased it to protect himself from federal immigration agents, police wrote in court documents. The student, Mateo Healy Pereira, told a Syracuse police officer that he had purchased the rifle in the event that U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement agents illegally detained him or surrounded his residence, the officer wrote in an affidavit obtained by the Post Standard and Syracuse.com. Healy Pereira, a dual citizen of Spain and the United States, said he would use the 1905 30-06 U.S. Rock Island rifle to shoot an ICE agent as a last resort if they were to come to his home in Ithaca, the officer William Clayton wrote. Healy Pereira, 22, was found Saturday afternoon with the rifle and 40 rounds of ammunition while waiting on the SU campus for a bus to Ithaca, police previously said. He had traveled to Syracuse by bus earlier that day to buy the rifle. He was taken into custody outside Shine Student Center on Waverly Avenue and later charged with criminal possession of a weapon on school grounds. It is a crime in New York State to bring a gun onto a school or college campus. Healy Pereira said he purchased the rifle and ammunition at Intimidator Sports at 7000 South Salina Street in Nidro. He said he picked the store because it was on the direct route of the Central bus. Clayton's affidavit provided additional information about why Healy Pereira purchased the rifle and his whereabouts. It was one of the several filings submitted to the judge in a bid by police to obtain an extreme risk protection order against Healy Pereira. Realtor.com says Rochester is the top city for first-time homebuyers by Sunny Hernandez. For first-time homebuyers navigating a housing market strained by high prices and limited inventory, two of the best places to buy a home are in upstate New York. A recent report from Realtor.com ranked the 10 best markets for first-time homebuyers, and Rochester took the top spot. Realtor.com used a weighted scoring system that balances affordability with long-term opportunity. Affordability and local amenities each accounted for 25% of the score, measuring home prices against young adults' incomes and access to shopping, dining, childcare, and nightlife. Other factors, including housing inventory, the share of young residents, commute times, projected unemployment, and expected home sales and price growth, each made up 10%. The median list price in Rochester is $139,900, according to the report. That equals about 2.9 times the median income for $48,617 for residents ages 25 to 34, which is a price-to-income ratio that signals strong affordability compared to many U.S. markets. The Western New York City's average commute time is 21 minutes. Area St. Patrick's Day festivities started yesterday in Syracuse when the week began on South Salina Street turning green. That occurred Friday morning as city officials, parade organizers, and this year's honorees gathered downtown to paint the traditional green stripe along the parade route, a ritual that signals the Irish celebration has arrived. The 44th annual parade began Saturday at noon in Clinton Square and headed about a half mile south along South Salina Street, finishing near West Onondaga Street. This year's Grand Marshals are being honored for their work with the St. Baldrick's Head Shaving Fundraiser at Kitty Hoyne's Irish Pub, which they led for more than two decades, helping shave 7,701 heads and raise $7.3 million for pediatric cancer research. The theme of this year's parade was As Giving as the Irish. Before the parade began Saturday, the traditional parade mass was held at the Cathedral of Immaculate Conception. In Syracuse, deputies arrested a wanted man after stopping a stolen truck. Deputies apprehended a wanted man and two others after stopping a stolen Penske truck in Syracuse. Stephen M. Smith, 42, of Fulton, was taken into custody Tuesday on an outstanding bench warrant for failure to appear in court to answer several charges. Deputies stopped the truck around 6 p.m. after they spotted it near the CNY Regional Market at 2100 Park Street and noticed it matched the description of a vehicle reported stolen in DeWitt. Driver Miranda Vogel, 40, and passenger Holly Payne, 48, both of Syracuse, were detained, but indicated that another man was with them. Deputies saw Smith walking briskly away from the area and was later found hiding in a tent near a homeless encampment near North Salina Street and Hiawatha Boulevard. Vogel and Payne were both issued tickets for misdemeanor unauthorized use of a motor vehicle, and Smith was issued an appearance ticket for the misdemeanor of second-degree obstruction of governmental administration. He was also booked into Onondaga County Justice Center on the outstanding warrants. Deputies released the name of a man found dead after a house fire in Cayuga County. An 89-year-old man was killed in a fire at a house Tuesday morning, deputies said. The man was identified as Ralph Keene Christopher, according to the Cayuga County Sheriff's Office news release. Crews arrived at 281 East Lake Road in Conquest at around 8:36 a.m., where they found a fire raging in the living room, deputies had said. The cause of the fire has not been determined, and an investigation is ongoing. Some Today in History noted events. Albert Einstein was born this past weekend in 1879. He revolutionized physics and the human understanding of the universe. Also, March 14th is known as Pi Day because it is 314. And another noted event that happened on 314. Another noted event on Pi Day, or March 14th, was in 2018 when Stephen Hawking, the best-known theoretical physicist of his time, died at his home in Cambridge, England at the age of 76. Birthdays for this weekend, actor Michael Caine was 93, country musician Michael Martin Murphy is 81, comedian Billy Crystal, 78, radio personality Rick Dees is 75, Adrian Zemed, 72, actor Gary Anthony Williams, 60. Drummer Michael Bland from Soul Asylum, 57. Actor Grace Park, 52. Actor Ryan Cartwright, 45. Actor Jamie Bell, 40. NBA star Stephen Curry, 38. And gold medalist Simone Biles, 29. And speaking of sports, the Paralympics asked the question other sports are afraid to answer by Susan Zeif from The Fulcrum. If you're a sports fan, you likely watch coverage of the 2026 Winter Olympics in Milano Cortina, but are you watching the Paralympics as approximately 665 athletes are also in Italy to compete in the para sports of alpine skiing, biathlon, cross-country skiing, ice hockey, snowboarding, and wheelchair curling? The Paralympics are so-called because they are parallel to the Olympics, but they stand alone as the globe's premier sporting event for elite athletes with disabilities. According to the International Paralympic Committee, 4,400 disabled athletes competed in the 2024 Paris Games in 22 sports. Worldwide, viewers consumed 763.3 million hours of dedicated coverage during the 2024 Paralympics, an increase of 83% from the Tokyo 2020 Paralympics. Yet, audience viewership is still underperforming when it comes to these Olympics. The reality is that the Paralympics are inspirational, but for different reasons. It's an elite sport at its most essential, focused athleticism, hardcore competitiveness, and record-breaking performances. And to watch it closely is to encounter some of the most complex questions sport has to offer about fairness, performance, technology, and the body itself. For these reasons, the Paralympics offer a spectator experience that's less about overcoming and more about mastery with diverse bodies. And that's part of what makes the Paralympics so valuable. It makes bodily differences visible by forcing us to ask difficult questions. What counts as an advantage? Where do we draw the line between technology and talent? What goes without question is that the Paralympics offers viewers a powerful and expanded view of body possibilities and the bodies of many configurations as athletes aim for the beautiful and superhuman performances that attract us to watch sport in the first place. Watching the Paralympics won't just change how you see disability, it will change how you see the sport itself. And on a personal note, I would like to also extend that to Special Olympics, We don't go to Special Olympics games to watch people with disabilities do extraordinary things. We go to Special Olympics to watch athletes compete and do extraordinary things despite of their visible or possibly invisible disabilities. In other sports news, the Saints coach candidacy for the Syracuse job has become an unavoidable topic when it comes to Jerry McNamara by Mike McAdam. Jerry McNamara wasn't moving all that quickly on Wednesday evening. He could be moving very quickly by the end of the month, though. A four-hour bus ride from Atlantic City, New Jersey, dragged on because the Siena's men basketball team made a pit stop. A couple dozen people piled off for lunch, piled back on, and then ran down into a slowdown due to an accident. That delay put the bus right on the Route 9 rush hour wheelhouse. They finally arrived in an hour off schedule to get their sixth or seventh win following Tuesday's spectacular win over Merrimack for the MAAC tournament championship, and deboarded to cheers from a few dozen well-wishers. The head coach trudged off like he had just descended from South Base Camp at Mount Everest. A little blurry-eyed, in sweatpants, a backwards ball cap, a backpack, and a spare jacket sticking out of some nook in his coat, McNamara couldn't stop grinning. When he gave a little triumph fist pump, it didn't quite rise to the energy of Bender at the end of the Breakfast Club, but still. This Siena movie is far from over, with an NCAA tournament berth to be revealed soon. In the meantime, while the Saints got back to practice, McNamara's candidacy for the Syracuse head coaching job became the default position in a nanosecond after Adrian Autry was fired on Wednesday morning. It's conceivable that he wouldn't take it if he was offered the job. And if he does wind back up at Syracuse, where he'll be forever remembered for his legendary playing days, that puts Siena in a lurch familiar to many mid-majors. In the last 32 seasons, after Mike Dean left for Marquette in 1994, Siena has had 10 head coaches. I'll do the math. That's an average of 3.2 seasons each. Either of two things usually happens. The coach, especially a young one like the 42-year-old McNamara, is successful enough that he leaves for a bigger program. Or he bombs and leaves by Siena's choice. The added wrinkle these days is that so much of it is about the money to pay players, and it works both ways when coming to coaching changes. A candidate needs assurances that favorable resources will be available, and a school needs to weigh how much a candidate could potentially enhance those resources. In women's lacrosse, Syracuse lacrosse stuns Northwestern 9-6. The number 14 Syracuse women's lacrosse team upset number 4 Northwestern 9-6 on Thursday at Kyle Fieldhouse in Evanston, Illinois, to extend its winning streak to 5 games. Syracuse improved to a 5-3 on the season and returned home to face Yale on Tuesday at the JMA Wireless Dome. The game is scheduled for 4:30 p.m. and will air on ESPNU. The Orange defense suffocated a Northwestern offense that came into the game averaging 18.3 goals per contest, the second highest mark in the nation. Syracuse held the Wildcats to just 6 goals while forcing 14 turnovers and limiting Northwestern's team scoreless, stretching more than 30 minutes from the end of the second quarter through the final minutes of the game. Molly Guzik powered the Syracuse attack with a career-high 6 goals. In weather headlines, it looks like the spring that we thought we had was a fake spring after all. But Monday, we have a 63-degree forecast, but also light wintry mix in the mix. Tuesday, 42. Wednesday, back into the 30s. Thursday, 43. And Friday, 39. Around the region, Albany is averaging in the 40s. Lake Placid in the 30s. And Watertown in the high 30s. Across the country, Anchorage in the teens, Dallas 78, Minneapolis 36, Phoenix 93, and Seattle 41. And around the world, Acapulco checks in at 76, Dublin 45, Mexico City 69, Paris 53, and Toronto at 34. You are listening to a reading of articles and features from the Post Standard on the Niagara Frontier Radio Reading Service. While the temperatures might not feel like it, signs of spring are continuing to emerge with maple sugaring activities and a forest walk on board to appreciate the changing of the seasons. On Monday, Beaver Lake will hold a seeing eye-to-eye to learn about all the creatures' eyes at the Beaver Lake Nature Center program. Children of all ages are welcome. Registration is required at Beaver Lake Seeing, 8477 East Mud Lake Road in Baldwinsville from 2 to 3 p.m., and it's free with the $5 vehicle admission. The Ballantine Gardens and Liverpool Public Library are co-sponsoring a screening of The Extraordinary Caterpillar, a short documentary about how caterpillars help sustain biodiversity. Lisa and Tim Ballantine will discuss how caterpillars help power native plants in our neighborhoods. Details are at tinyurl.com/Liverpool Library Events, 310 Tulip Street in Liverpool from 6:30 to 8 on Monday, and it is free. The Syracuse Actors Studio will celebrate its second anniversary at the Palace Theater with a free stand-up comedy intensive. Hosted by Joey Marcus, the instructional session will also have networking opportunities for aspiring producers, writers, directors, photographers, and actors. It's open to the public, and details are at tinyurl.com/comedy-seminar, 2384 James Street in Syracuse from 7 to 10 on Monday, which is free. On Tuesday, rock and roll singer and guitarist McKinley James, 22, who has been sharpening his skills at places like Nashville dive bars and European headlining gigs. Now he will perform at 443 Social Club, backed by Smay, heavily influenced by traditional bands and soul. James makes older styles of music his own. Tickets at 443 Social Club, backslash events, at 443 Burnett Ave in Syracuse at 7 p.m. on Tuesday. Doors will open at 5:30, and the cost is $34 plus the venue's 15 per person seat and venue drink minimum. On Wednesday, you can join a community-led conversation about climate change at Ithaca's Buffalo Street Books. March's title is the novel is The Unworthy by Argentinian writer Agustina Betztekera. Details at buffalostreetbooks.com, 215 Cayuga Street in Ithaca, 4 p.m. on Wednesday, and it is free. New Jersey band Fit for an Autopsy, which sings metal hits like Black Mammoth, is coming to the Song and Dance. The deathcore group says it grapples with the horrors that the human race has unnecessarily inflicted upon the world. Special guests Quantifier and Slumlord will also perform. Guests under 16 admitted with a legal guardian. 115 East Jefferson Street in Syracuse, 7 p.m. Wednesday, and tickets are around $30. You can explore Amber Robles Gordon's work at a ritualistic healing and community building at the Community Folk Art Center on Friday. Through her exhibition, Healing Forward, Gordon discusses self-repair and complex relationships between collectivism, perspective, and spirituality that occurs throughout community cultivation and healing. The showcase brings together ensembles, quilts, collages, and installations. Reservations at Eventbrite, 805 East Garden Street in Syracuse, from 6:30 to 8:30 on Friday, and this is also free to the public. In Canastota, the Great Swamp Conservancy will host its first Spring Equinox Forest Therapy Walk from 1 to 3 p.m. on Saturday, March 21st, offering participants a guided experience designed to deepen their connection with nature. The program will be led by certified forest therapy guide June Leo Rondazzo, who will guide participants through a slow and mindful walk designed to engage the senses and encourage reflection. Organizers say the event is intended to help participants experience the natural environment in a different and more intentional way than a typical hike. Other things going around the area on Friday through March 22nd, the Book of Mormon musical will be touring North America and at Landmark Syracuse Theaters next weekend. From the creators of South Park, the 9-time Tony Award-winning comedy is witty and unforgettable. Follow the merry misadventures of a poorly matched pair of missionaries sent halfway across the globe to spread their religion. Please be aware of explicit language. Children under 4 will not be admitted. 362 South Salina Street in Syracuse, 7:30 p.m. on Friday, and at 2 and 7:30 on Saturday, and 1 and 6:30 on Sunday, the 22nd. Tickets range from $44 to $102. Businesses throughout downtown Ithaca will open their doors Saturday for Fairy Fest, hosted by indie toy shop Alphabet Soup. The day includes crafts, story time, workshops, and magical treats. Fairy, unicorn, elf, or other magical creature attire is encouraged at this family-friendly event. Downtown Ithaca Commons from 10 to 4 on Saturday and is free to attend. Disrupt Her Commons is a Village Square-style gathering for women leaders by women leaders, being held at the McCarthy Mercantile. The goal is to provide access to meaningful conversations, practical support, skill sharing, and a community of other women in a relaxed atmosphere. The Commons is built around five pillars: health, style, work, wallet, and brand. And more than 20 curated vendors will offer services, expertise, and hands-on experiences. The event supports People on Purpose Incorporated, which helps fund local women-led organizations creating economic impact across our region. 217 South Salina Street on the lower level from 10 to 4 Saturday. General admission is $55. You can join the Green Lakes Environmental Education Center to celebrate the start of springtime with a hike through the old growth forest. Expect to walk about 4 miles on moderate to steep terrain. Make sure to dress for the weather, wear sturdy walking shoes, and bring plenty of water. Hikers will meet the Environmental Education Center. For all ages, details at tinyurl.com/Green Lakes Spring. 7900 Green Lakes Road in Fayetteville, 3 to 4:30 on Saturday, and that is free. The magical world of designer Laura Marino is coming to Paladin Hall's Grand Ballroom. Rise from the Ashes is a fantasy-inspired runway showcase that includes aerial performances and celebrates community. The event will benefit In My Father's Kitchen, which provides necessities and foods for Syracuse's homeless community. Black tie attire is required to attend this final collaboration between Marino and lead makeup artist and co-producer Alexandra Axenfeld. Tickets are at Ticket Leap, 101 South Salina Street, Syracuse. Cocktail hour begins at 5:30, runway show at 7:30, and general admission is around $80. Saturday the 21st and Sunday the 22nd, the Studio for Performing Arts Ballet Company will perform Sleeping Beauty at the Smith Opera House in Geneva. Experience the familiar story with elegant music, beautiful choreography, stunning costumes, and fairy tale wonder. The SPA Ballet Company is a professional dance company celebrating 30 years. 82 Seneca Street in Geneva, 7:30 Saturday, 2:30 on March 22nd. Adults are $29, seniors and students around 18. You could take a drive to Genesee Country Village and Museum's Maple Sugar Festival and tap into the sweet history next weekend. Learn about the historical sounds, tastes, and sights of the maple season. Explore the village and nature center. Enjoy fresh pancakes and listen to live music with multiple eateries, each serving something different. Be sure to come hungry. 1410 Flint Hill Road in Mumford from 10 to 3 on Saturday and Sunday. And celebrate Women's History Month with a musical series at Luckenheimer Craft Brewing Company. Next weekend brings the pop, soul, and R&B sounds of Amanda Ashley, a Rochester songwriter and musician. The month-long series uplifts women's voices through community gathering and joyous music in a family-friendly, warm environment featuring craft beer, wood-fired pizza, and more. Details at LuckenheimerCraftBrewing.com, 8931 North Seneca Street, Weedsport, at 1 p.m. on March 22nd, free for all ages. From the CNY Inspirations column by Tim Hannon, Fasting and Reflection. Many Christians practice the season of Lent. This is a time of fasting and reflection when we ask what things are keeping us from the love of God and of one another. There is wisdom in Lent. However, I think I can help those who are not Christians too. First, what have you placed your faith in? In your best moments, when you saw the world most clearly, in joy and in hope, what things did you know to be true? That love is stronger than hate? That even if good doesn't always win, sometimes, somehow, it should win? That we are responsible for our neighbor's well-being, even especially if they are poor or are strangers? What things do you know at your very core to be good and true? And what has kept you from believing in those things? What has made you doubt them? What has kept them from your mind readily? Maybe all the news about death and broken families has broken our faith and broken our families in the goodness of humanity and our faith in that. Maybe personal pain has made us feel lost and forgotten. Maybe grief has made us feel alone. Maybe we've fallen into old habits, even addictions, that we thought we had grown through. What has kept you from those moments of truth? And now, what is in your control to change? Christians often joke about giving up chocolate for Lent, but maybe giving up thoughts of despair would be better. Turn off your phone and take a walk. Sit in silence with a candle. Reach out to your neighbor. Volunteer. Give to a food bank. Remember, you can do a lot in this world of sorrow. Make these things a practice. Make them a habit. So then you can live truth and love peace, not just long for it. By the Reverend Tim Hannon. He's a priest and rector at the Christ Episcopal Church in Manlius, also a member of Interfaith Works Roundtable of Faith Leaders. And this feature is coordinated by the Post Standard, Syracuse.com, and Interfaith Works of Central New York. In more outdoor news, a new New York State park has Finger Lakes waterfront and three waterfalls. The Three Falls State Park, a 90-acre former Boy Scout camp, was purchased for $5 million in 2025 by Steve Featherstone. Located in the heart of the Finger Lakes, the 90-acre park sits in a half-mile waterfront just north of Taganak Falls State Park. It's named after three scenic waterfalls inside or adjacent to the park, including the 128-foot Frontenac Falls. The Village of Trumansburg is thrilled to be a partner in this once-in-a-century opportunity to bring additional parklands to the shores of Cayuga Lake, Trumansburg Mayor Rorden Hart said. The park will be operated by Three Falls Local Development Corporation, a collaborative entity composed of representatives of the towns of Covert and Ulysses, and the villages of Trumansburg. Trumansburg Creek flows through all three communities as well as the new park. The land is infinite. Waterfront land is rarer still. I'm deeply grateful to our state and local partners for turning this shared vision into reality, Ulysses Supervisor Caitlin Olson said. What we've created here is a gift to generations we'll never meet. The New York State Parks and its local government partners released a conceptual plan to preserve the diverse ecology of the former Camp Barton Scout Camp while expanding recreational opportunities, improving infrastructures, and enhancing public uses. Three Falls LDC will continue a tradition of stewardship to preserve this hidden treasure and historic 90 acres for generations to experience. And I look forward to welcoming visitors, Covert Deputy Town Supervisor Deborah Notke said. Created with input from the public and partners, the conceptual development plan for Three Falls State Park outlines a vision for sustainable, accessible, and affordable state park. The four-phase plan calls for the construction of modern amenities, implementation of invasive species management strategies, and improvements to existing structures, trails, and utilities, including restored camp cabins, new docks, kayak launches, and lake access infrastructure, a new nature center and environmental education learning spaces, the preservation of a peregrine falcon habitat, rentable music and event spaces, an improved central restroom facility, and new hiking trails and waterfall viewing areas, as well as a permanent 110-plus space parking area. Most of the proposed upgrades will be repurposing existing structures, according to the New York State Office of Parks, Recreation, and Historical Preservation. Designs will prioritize universal accessibility, creating equitable access to outdoor spaces, and ensuring that every New Yorker feels welcome on these state lands. Timing of improvements will be determined following a final review of the draft plans by New York State Parks and availability of funding. The Three Falls Local Development Corporation will utilize a variety of funding sources, including grants and community support, to advance the project and develop public programming at the park. While expanding recreational opportunities at the lower section of Three Falls State Park, State Parks said it will also work to preserve sensitive ecology of Trumansburg Creek, the surrounding gorge, and the park's higher elevations. You can learn more by visiting parks.ny.gov and download New York State Parks Explorer app or call 518-874-0456. And speaking of the parks, Adirondack hikers are warned of risky spring thaw conditions by Sunny Hernandez. Those venturing out into the forever wild trails of the Adirondacks are being advised of treacherous conditions with the melting of the winter snows. The New York State Department of Environmental Conservation is warning backcountry hikers via social media of dangerous conditions in the Adirondacks as rising temperatures and snowmelt transforms trails. The high water bridge at the Calamity Brook Trail, about 1.8 miles from Flowed Lands, has washed out. This trail from Upper Works provides primary access to Flowed Lands, Lake Colden, and surrounding routes. With the Avalanche Pass Trail also closed, winter access to the area will be more difficult. Other trails are similarly affected. The two crossings of the Opalescent River on the East River Trail and Opalescent River crossing on the Lake Arnold Trail near Feldspar Trail Junction remain high and hazardous. Hikers attempting Mount Redfield and Cliff Mountains were turned back due to the overflowing Opalescent River and large holes in the trail. And video from the Ausable River shows ice jams creating sudden upstream flooding. Last week, the National Weather Service issued a flood warning for areas around the east branch of the river in Clinton and Essex counties. The Cold Brook Pass Trail, which connects the Indian Pass Trail to Lake Colden, has not been maintained by the DEC for over a decade and is not recommended during current conditions due to water crossing risks. Many frozen streams crossing across the high peaks have also failed, forcing hikers to navigate steep banks of snow and ice to reach the water. Experts warn that larger crossings are unlikely to refreeze this winter as we get closer to spring. Water levels can change rapidly during the day, making previously passable crossings dangerous. Hikers are urged to prepare for delays, including the possibility of spending an extra night in the backcountry. Snowshoes or skis are required in the High Peaks Wilderness when snow depths exceed 8 inches. Updated backcountry hiking and trail information can be found on the New York State DEC website at dec.ny.gov. You are listening to a reading of articles and features from the Post Standard on the Niagara Frontier Radio Reading Service. Well, tonight is the Oscars, so let's go over the nominees for the major categories. For Best Picture, Begonia, F1, Frankenstein, Hamnet, Marty Supreme, One Battle After Another, The Secret Agent, Sentimental Value, Sinners, and Train Dreams. Best Actresses, Jessie Buckley for Hamnet, Rose Byrne for If I Had Legs, I'd Kick You, Kate Hudson for Song Sung Blue, Renate Rensvi for Sentimental Value, and Emma Stone for Begonia. Best Actor nominees, Timothy Chalamet for Marty Supreme, Leonardo DiCaprio for One Battle After Another, Ethan Hawke for Blue Moon, Michael B. Jordan for Sinners, and Wagner Mora for The Secret Agent. Best Supporting Actresses, Elle Fanning for Sentimental Value, Inga Imm's daughter Lilis for Sentimental Value, Amy Madigan for Weapons, Wunmi Mosaku for Sinners, and Teyana Taylor for One Battle After Another. Best Supporting Actor nominees, Jacob Elordi for Frankenstein. The Oscars will air tonight on ABC at 7 p.m. The host is going to be Conan O'Brien. In other movie news, the I scream, you scream, we all scream, but Scream 7 is an uninspired bore, according to Mark Kennedy of the Associated Press. Early in Scream 7, in one of those blasts of the franchise's signature self-mocking irony, Neve Campbell is taunted for sitting out Scream 6. It's not the same without you, she's told. And it's true, Campbell's Sidney Prescott is the plucky heart of the series, the original Scream Queen, the so-called final girl who bites her lip and yet leaps into action when needed. Scream 6 tried to put a defibrillator paddles on the Ghostface killer franchise without Campbell, and it felt like a stutter step. Perhaps Sidney is right. This isn't going to stop unless she stops it. Scream 7, a Paramount Pictures release, is rated R by the Motion Picture Association for strong bloody violence, gore, and language. Running time was 114 minutes, and this reviewer only gave him 1.5 stars. Pixar delivers a new movie with the sweet action-packed Hoppers. It might be built with familiar parts, but Pixar's latest isn't trying to hide its various influences. Instead, this buoyant, freewheeling adventure about a spirited 19-year-old environmental activist who infiltrates the animal world in a body of a robotic beaver wears its references for all to see. Sometimes it's with a wink, sometimes it's more overt, like Kathy Najimini's flustered science shouting, "This is nothing like Avatar." Hoppers, a Walt Disney Company release, is rated PG by the Motion Picture Association for some scary images and mild language and action peril. Runs 105 minutes and gets a 3.5 stars out of 4. In music news, Bruno Mars is back. Did you miss him? The 16-time Grammy Award winner is undisputable hitmaker, and that trend continues with the 9-track The Romantic, his 4th full-length album. Just over 30 minutes in runtime, it's also a brief return for the singer and his first solo release in a decade, succeeding his 2016's groovy R&B-inspired collection, 24K Magic. Despite hearing these songs at weddings everywhere in the foreseeable future, we look forward to the new Bruno Mars. He was actually on CBS this morning on the detailed talk piece that they do. How about some horoscopes for the week? If you were born between March 21st and April 20th, you are looked to be an Aries, and sometimes in this week, you may discover a hidden talent you didn't know you have. Embrace this new aspect of your identity and put it to good use. Those born between April 22nd to 21st and May 21st are Tauruses. This time, you might feel grounded and secure. Your inner strength will allow you to take a calculated risk that will pay off, either with your finances or relationships. Geminis, born between May 22nd and June 21st, you will find this week a mental fog that will lift, leaving you with crystal clear vision for the future. Start moving toward your goals as soon as possible. Cancer is born June 22nd to July 22nd. Your emotional intelligence is your greatest asset right now, Cancers. You help a friend navigate a tricky situation with ease this midweek, and by the weekend, you're still going strong. Leo is born between July 23rd and August 23rd. Right now, your confidence is unshakable, Leo. Use all of your energy to advocate for something you fully believe in. Chances are you will evoke some change as a result. Virgo, August 24th to September 22nd. Order brings you joy, which means you may want to tackle transforming your workspace into some more detailed operation. This will boost your mood and your performance. Libra, September 23rd to October 23rd. Romance is a priority right now, Libra. Whether you are single or in a relationship, expect a moment this week when the spark is ignited once more. Scorpios, October 24th to November 22nd. A small change in your routine may lead to a big increase in energy, Scorpio. Try rearranging your schedule to see what works best for you and then make it a habit. Sagittarius, November 23rd to December 21st. Sagittarius, a dream you had is more attainable than you may think. Take the first step and quickly the path will open for you. Enlist friends to push you even further along. Capricorns, December 22nd to January 20th. Leadership comes naturally to you now, Capricorn. People will be looking to you for guidance this week. Try to deliver it with kindness and no sense of ego. Aquarius, is January 21st to February 18th. Your eureka moment might come sooner than you might imagine, Aquarius. Pay attention to the details this week and tune your way of thinking toward innovation. And finally, Pisces, February 19th to March 20th. Nature walks or creative hobbies may nourish your soul this week, Pisces. You might find yourself deeply attuned to the world around you and the beauty you discover. From the Storefront column by Elizabeth Duran, Samantha House, and Kelly Corbett, a popular restaurant in downtown Syracuse will temporarily close for 1 week for renovations. Pastabilities will be closed from Monday through Sunday this week. The restaurant owners indicate they may reopen for Sunday evening dinner service if the renovation work progresses ahead of schedule. Customers can check social media and the restaurant's website for updates. Pasta's Daily Bread, the establishment's bakery across the street, will continue to serve customers throughout the renovation period. The bakery will maintain regular hours and offer expanded selections, including take-and-make sauces, pasta, sandwiches, and soup during the closure. The Armory Street restaurant has been serving Syracuse for more than 40 years and has gained national recognition, including multiple appearances on Guy Fieri's Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. Possibilities has attracted notable celebrities in recent years, including actor Chevy Chase, comedian Kevin James, Schitt's Creek star Eugene Levy, and It's Always Sunday in Philadelphia star Charlie Day. After opening with considerable fanfare in October 2023, Van Hassler Brewing announced it is closing. The owners of the craft brewery at 8045 Oswego Road, Route 57 in Clay, announced on social media their last day was this weekend. "We've had a crazy journey," said the Facebook post, "and while we know there would be unknown obstacles and hurdles along the way, we've been hit with just too many, so it's time to pull back and regroup." Calls and messages to Van Hassler Brewing, which is owned by LaFord and Kateri Hassler, have not been returned. The brewery tasting room had about 6 beers on tap, and the site was formerly Cholita's Peruvian Chicken and then an Arby's. LaFord Hassler's family owns Syracuse's original caramel corn at Destiny USA. They eventually added food and hosted trivia nights at the brewery. "Is this the end of Van Hassler Brewing?" the couple posted on social media. "We don't think so. We still have an immense passion for our craft and a love for the community that it brought together." The Everything Free store is coming. No price tags, no cash registers, no money needed. That's what shoppers expect at a novel new store coming to the Capital District, where everything on shelves will be free. The Free store is slated to move into an empty Rite Aid in Troy, about 8 miles north of Albany, in a few months, according to WTEN. The shop will be the second Free store location opened by Free Store Mission Incorporated, a nonprofit based in Vermont. The organization's first Free store is at 401 Main Street in Bennington, Vermont, about 32 miles from Troy. The new Free store will set up shop in an ultra-clean environment. The new Free store will be in the former Rite Aid at 272 Hoosick Street, a 14,600 square foot building that has been empty since June of 2025. It will be modeled after the nonprofit's flagship store in Vermont. The Free store's shelves are stocked with clothes, accessories, decorations, pet supplies, kitchen gear, and other items donated by the public. Shoppers can take home up to 25 items per week, WTEN reported. As rising prices continue to strain the budgets of residents across America, the Free store counted 4,400 families among its customers in 2025. "I've seen it for my own family," said spokesperson Board President Joyce Lloyd. "You know, I never thought the people, my family, would be wanting to go to a food bank because of the cost of childcare, medical expenses, and rent, but it's all overwhelming." While no exact opening date has been set, Lloyd told the Times Union she expects Troy's Free store to open in late spring or early summer. The Free store's organizers are seeking corporate sponsors and looking for volunteers to help run the store. Anyone interested can call 802-379-3402 or email freestore05201@gmail.com. Bad news for Papa John's fans. The longtime pizza chain has announced plans to close approximately 300 underperforming stores across the U.S. by the end of 2027. Additionally, the pizza giant will be nixing 2 fan favorite items from the menu. During a recent earnings call, Ravi Thanawala, Papa John's CFO and North American president, said he is expecting about 200 closures in 2026. The closing stores, according to Thanawala, are primarily franchise-owned and are not meeting brand expectations or lack a clear path to sustainable financial improvement. The chain reported a 2% year-over-year decrease in revenue from North American stores in the fiscal year of 2025 in its earnings release. Revenue at company-owned restaurants was down 3%, while franchised restaurants were down 2%. "We're taking action to better align corporate and field resources with our transformation priorities and optimize spans and layers in our organizations. It's unknown which stores the pizza chain will close or whether the closures will take place, when the closures will take place." Papa John's is also phasing out Papadias and Papa Bites from its menu. The former is a flatbread sandwich line introduced in 2020, and Papa Bites, launched in 2022, are snackable dough balls. The chain is shifting focus toward its new pan pizza introduced last year. In the economy news, you might have noticed in the past months that it's harder and harder to get change back when a penny is due to you. Well, months after the last of the United States 1-cent coins were pressed, some states are beginning to offer their own 2 cents on the penny problem by setting rounding guidances for cash purchases. President Donald Trump announced early last year to end penny production, saying it was wasteful. It cost 3.7 cents to make each 1 cent coin in 2024, according to the U.S. Mint. The move led to a shortage of pennies in cash registers this past summer, forcing consumers and businesses to confront a penniless future, which could make exact change getting back be difficult. The Treasury Department has said it will continue circulating the roughly 114 billion pennies that exist for as long as possible. Pennies must still be accepted for payment. One solution to the problem is rounding to the nearest nickel using a practice called symmetrical rounding. So if your final price after taxes ends in 1, 2, 6, or 7 cents, the payment in cash rounds down. For example, $1.91 or $1.92 becomes $1.90. If the price ends in 3, 4, 8, or 9, the cash payment rounds up. So $1.98 or $1.99 will cost you $2. A bill introduced last year in Congress and passed out of the House Financial Services Committee would apply symmetrical rounding across the country. U.S. Representative Lisa McClain, a representative from Michigan, said in an email to the federal law, it's important to prevent a confusing patchwork of state policies. You're listening to a reading of articles and features from the Post Standard on the Niagara Frontier Radio Reading Service. From the Savings Angel column by Josh Elledge, how to protect yourself from scams this tax season. Well, tax season is stressful enough without worrying about scammers, but unfortunately this time of year tends to attract exactly that. As millions of Americans prepare their returns and wait for refunds, criminals look for opportunities to take advantage of confusion, urgency, and the promise of quick money. The good news is that most tax scams follow predictable patterns. Once you know what to look for, they become easier to spot and avoid. So let's walk through the most common schemes circulating right now and how to protect yourself during tax season. Why scammers love tax season? Well, tax season creates a perfect environment for fraud. People are sharing sensitive financial information, checking their refund status, and responding to messages about their taxes. And that makes it easier for scammers to slip in and pretend to be legitimate. Many scams also rely on urgency. Messages may claim you owe money immediately, that your refund is at risk, or that you must verify information right away. When people feel pressured, they're more likely to respond without thinking carefully. That sense of urgency is one of the biggest warning signs. One of the most common tax scams involves criminals pretending to be from the IRS. These messages may arrive by phone call, email, or text, and often claim there's a problem with your return. You might be told you owe back taxes, that a payment is overdue, or that your refund cannot be processed without additional information. The message may include threats about penalties, legal action, or even arrest if you do not respond quickly. It is important to remember that the IRS does not initiate contact through text messages, social media, or emails asking for sensitive financial information. They also don't demand immediate payment through unusual methods such as gift cards or wire transfers. If you receive a message like this, don't respond directly. Instead, go to the official IRS website or contact a trusted tax professional to verify if there's really an issue. Another common tactic involves fake messages claiming to help you receive or track a tax refund. These messages often include links directing you to a website that looks official but is actually designed to steal your personal data. The site might ask for your Social Security number, bank account details, or tax filing information. Once the scammers have that data, they can attempt identity theft or even file fraudulent returns in your name. If you want to check the status of your refund, the safest way is to go directly to the official IRS website and use the Where's My Refund tool. Avoid clicking links from unsolicited emails or texts claiming to help you track your refund. Not all scams happen online. Some involve individuals posing as tax professionals who promise unusually large refunds or fast processing. These preparers may ask you to sign blank forms, refuse to provide copies of your return, or base their fee on the size of your refund. That may sound tempting in the moment, but if incorrect information is filed under your name, you're responsible for it.
A legitimate tax preparer should be transparent about fees, provide documentation, and be willing to answer your questions. If something feels rushed or secretive, listen to your gut and step back and reassess. Tax-related identity theft often happens when someone files a fraudulent tax return using your Social Security number before you submit your own. Victims may discover the issue when their legitimate return is rejected or when they receive notice that a refund has already been issued. Protecting your personal information is the best defense. Avoid sharing sensitive details through unsecured emails or messages, and be cautious when storing tax documents digitally. If you suspect your identity has been compromised, report it immediately through official IRS channels. There are a few straightforward habits that can reduce your risk significantly. File your return as early as reasonably possible. Filing earlier reduces the window of time criminals have to submit a fraudulent return in your name. Keep your personal and financial information secure. Store documents safely and avoid sending sensitive data through unsecure channels. Next, verify communications before responding. If you receive a message claiming to be from a government agency or tax preparer, contact them through official websites or phone numbers rather than replying directly to unsolicited emails. And finally, trust your instincts. If a message feels rushed, threatening, or too good to be true, it probably is. Tax season scammers thrive on confusion and urgency. The more informed you are, the harder it is for these criminals to succeed. So take your time, verify information carefully, and avoid responding to unexpected requests for personal data. A few minutes of cautioning can prevent a very costly mistake. Filing your taxes is never really enjoyable, but staying alert can ensure the only thing arriving this season is the refund you deserve. In public safety news, the statewide burn ban will start this week, March 16th. The annual Department of Environmental Conservation spring burn ban will go into effect on Monday, March 16th and run through May 14th. With the aim of reducing the risk of wildfires, the spring burn ban is an annual period where the DEC prohibits any sort of residential brush burning. When the snowfall first melts away, the DEC says there is a significant heightened risk of wildfires before there is enough green foliage produced, which typically occurs sometime in early or mid-May. Without any vegetation to keep the outdoor fire in check, springtime is very often the time of year when wildfires are a peak risk across New York. During the burn ban, the DEC says backyard fire pits and campfires less than 3 feet in height and 4 feet in length, width, and diameter are allowed, as are small cooking fires. Only charcoal or dry, clean, untreated, or unpainted wood can be burned. People should never leave these fires unattended and must extinguish them before leaving them. Burning garbage or other materials is also banned. Listing for obituaries for this weekend, Rashawn Robinson on March 8th of 2026. Rashawn L. Robinson, 39, affectionately known as Fab, departed this life on March 8th unexpectedly. He's now gone home to be with the Lord, whom he loved and honored. Born in Syracuse on August 6, 1986, to Deborah Isaac and Wayne Sr. and Lawrence Nunn. Besides his parents, Rashawn leaves a cherished memory and carrying on his legacy with three loving children and his sisters, Latoya, Giovanna, Stefani, Vanessa, Katrina, and his brothers, Norman, Deacon, Kendall, and Lionel. He also leaves a host of aunts, uncles, nieces, nephews, and cousins, and extended family and friends. Calling hours are this Tuesday from 10 to 12, with funeral services following at Gethers Funeral Services. You can leave memories and condolences at syracuse.com/obits. John T. Barber, 90, of Owasco, New York, passed away at his home on Monday, March 9th. John was born in Conquest, New York, the son of late John E. and Effie Turner Barber. He retired from RPM Industries, where he was employed as an injection molding setup operator. He lived a life rooted in faith, family, and the simple joys of the outdoors. In his younger years, he especially enjoyed hunting, fishing, and bicycling, activities that reflected his appreciation for nature and an active life. A devoted member of the Owasco Reformed Church, he had served his community as both a deacon and an elder. His quiet dedication, strong faith, and willingness to serve others were inspiration to many. Above all, he was a loving family man who cherished the time spent with those he loved the most. His family was the center of his life, and he took pride in their lives and accomplishments. He will be remembered for his steady presence, kind heart, and values he lived by each day. He survived by his loving wife of 69 years, Shirley, a daughter, Susan Joan Mallory, two grandsons, Matthew Mallory and Christopher John Mallory, two great-grandsons, and many nieces and nephew. John was predeceased by his sisters, his brothers, and calling hour will be held from 11 to noon on Tuesday, March 17th at the Owasco Reformed Church with a funeral service immediately following. Omission of flowers is requested by the family and would appreciate those desiring to make contributions to the church or the Owasco Fire Department number 2 on Corners Road in memory of John. A private family burial will be held at the Owasco Rural Cemetery. The family will join friends for a luncheon at Springside Inn once completed. Please visit www.langhamfuneralhomellc.com to leave a condolence for the family. Anil John Hopkins, 42, of Throop, passed away unexpectedly on Monday, March 9th. Neil was born in Auburn, New York, on October 11th, 1983, and attended Weedsport High School, where he was a member of the cross-country track and swim teams. He was involved in scouting and later attended Onondaga County Community College. Neil was employed with Baxter in Skaneateles Atlas Falls. Neil enjoyed a wide variety of hobbies, from music to camping, hiking, biking, and learning the Japanese culture. He was witty and opinionated and made a lasting impression on all he knew and will be dearly missed. He survived by his loving mother, Mary Karam Hopkins, his sister, Christina Hopkins Rowe, and her husband, Nathaniel, nephew Ethan Hopkins, his maternal grandmother Alina Karam, and many aunts, uncles, cousins, and friends. Neil was predeceased by his father John E. Hopkins, maternal grandfather Samuel Karam, paternal grandfather John Hopkins, and paternal grandmother Vivian Richardson. Visitation will be held Monday, March 16th from 10 to 12 at Whitechapel Funeral Home, 197 South Street in Auburn. Memorial service will be held immediately following at noon at the funeral home. In lieu of flowers, donations in Neil's memory may be made to a charity of one's choice. To offer condolences to the family, please visit whitechapelfh.com. And to end this broadcast on a personal note, I've been enjoying reading for you for the last 8 weeks, and I will continue to do so. However, I need to let you know there will be a small gap in the posting of these readings. I do need to take a trip to North Carolina from March 30th through April 12th, so I will be missing 2 weekends of readings, but I will be back as soon as I possibly can to carry on for you as I am called to do so. You've been listening to a reading of articles and feature from the weekend edition of the Post Standard. Your reader has been Donna. Thank you for listening.